You are listening to the extended version of Sexy Marriage Radio, smrnation.com.
You've turned on Sexy Marriage Radio, where the best sex happens in the marriage bed. Here's your host, Dr. Corey Allen.
So straight from iTunes, Pam, as we get started with Sexy Marriage Radio today.
Yeah.
This came in over the summer, and it says, I've been a Christian marriage podcast binge for the past year and a half or so, and have noticed there's a lot of lax, not very biblically sound advice giving on the airways masquerading as Christian advice, i.e. the host saying they don't think XYZ is a big deal in marriage, even though the Bible specifically says it is and should be done for the health of the marriage and individual. This podcast is not one of those. I love how Dr. Corey comes from a professional perspective, has secular and Christian guests and sources, and doesn't force his spiritual beliefs on the listener, while also letting the listener know his beliefs, which are biblically based. How you do life is how you do sex, and vice versa, is so true. And it's also so true that you have to work on yourself first if you want a better marriage. Thank you, Dr. Corey and Pam. You've already helped my husband and I so much in just a short several months of listening.
Ah. Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely.
It's kind of a great summary of what we've wanted to be.
That is totally what we're trying to do, because we're trying to just present good information that helps your marriage be the best it can be, mm-hmm. and your relationship being best it can be, but more importantly, your life even be the best it can be.
Right.
And so welcome to Sexy Marriage Radio, where we love that people may jump on iTunes like that and leave comments and reviews. And if you like the show, please jump on there and rate and review, leave a comment, or do that in whatever means you choose to listen. Mm-hmm. Also, we love to hear from you. So 214-702-9565 is how you can let us know what's going on in your world with any questions or comment or praise or topics you want to see us cover, because we go where the audience in the Sexy Marriage Radio Nation wants us to go, in large part.
Right.
And we try to answer your questions, and we try to also be, if you have a place that you don't know where you can ask questions, mm-hmm. because you're not going to bring it up in your small group or at a coworker lunch or with your parents or anything like that, we'll go there. And we want to be a source that can help you make your marriage what it can be.
Yeah, we want to help you on that journey.
And there's also just a few moments we want to take out at the beginning of this show. Because October 11th, which as this is airing, is just a couple of days away,
yeah.
is actually the 8th birthday of Sexy Marriage Radio.
Happy birthday!
Which is a really cool accomplishment.
Yeah.
To think that 8 years ago, we hit the airwaves with 3 shows, because I remember that vividly. Mm-hmm. We had 3 in the can with Gina and I.
Yeah.
That got started with just this whole idea of why Sexy Marriage Radio. And it was really because we wanted to help frame a conversation and talk about stuff in married life and in sex that wasn't normally addressed mm-hmm. in a straightforward, honest manner, but also had an air of value and spirituality and just some overall health involved. Because if you look at a lot of the information out there, it really is in this world we live in, a lot of anything goes.
Yeah.
And what we believe here at Sexy Marriage Radio, and as part of the Sexy Marriage Radio Nation, is that married sex is a sacred area for sex. Mm-hmm. And we want it to be fabulous for couples, mm-hmm. even though we know it always isn't sometimes, right? There's struggle.
Yeah, there's struggle. There's pain. There's times when you just don't want it to even be there for you.
Right.
And so I want to help walk you through it.
Right.
And I appreciate the grit you've had over the last 8 years and making this continue and flourish like it has.
Well, thank you. And yeah. I appreciate the fact that you've just come on board in the last year and a half or so. Mm-hmm. And so a shout out to Gina Paris and to Shannon Etheridge.
Absolutely.
The other two ladies that helped carry this thing with me all the way through. But 8 years is a big accomplishment.
Yeah.
So here's to 8 more.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Because we love what we do. We love being able on the air with you guys, and we love the feedback that you guys give us. And so celebrate with us this week by just emailing in if you want feedback at Sexy Marriage Radio. Call in. Just share a little bit. We're going to spend too much time on this, but it's something that's worth noting.
Yeah.
And we want to celebrate that and say thank you to you guys as the Sexy Marriage Radio Nation for helping make this thing all possible. Mm-hmm. So coming up on today's regular free version of Sexy Marriage Radio, a guest is joining us named Deb Thomas. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist up in the Seattle area that's also a sex therapist. And so she and I had a conversation about what are some of the metaphors she uses when it comes to working with sex therapy with her clients, mm-hmm. because she has a largely Christian population she worked with also. Mm-hmm. And so how do you frame those conversations to get people talking? And she uses the metaphor of food a lot.
Okay.
And it's a fantastic conversation that helps just enter into that realm a little easier.
Wonderful.
And then coming up on today's extended version of Sexy Marriage Radio, which is deeper and longer, plus there's no ads, you can subscribe at smrnation.com. There's a little more in-depth conversation that Deb Thomas and I have. And this one we do on what's it like on the couch with a sex therapist in their office. And so we just talk about our practices and some a little behind the scenes. And I love this conversation because she and I come at this differently.
Nice.
And
okay.
So there's a little pushback on both sides as we're talking, because they're both can be very effective, but we see the world differently when it comes to how we approach the subject with clients.
All right.
So all that's coming up on today's show. So joining me for this segment of Sexy Marriage Radio, I'm excited about this because it's not too often that I get a chance to have sitting alongside me on the microphone a fellow sex therapist that is willing to dive deep into that, you know, forbidden arena that sometimes we are reluctant to talk about. But Deb Thomas is a marriage and family therapist up in the Seattle area, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Who
yes.
We have crossed paths via some mutual friends of Seth and Melanie Studley with Anatomy of Marriage. And
some people.
Yeah, they are. So, Deb, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited. I've been a listener and I sent my clients your way. And I listened to some of the guests that you have. And I also just, also listen for a different perspective. Sometimes I think that you have a really masculine perspective since you don't have another female therapist as a regular co-host.
Right.
I think that's just really helpful. It's really helpful for a lot of my clients. And so I send them your way.
Well, good. Well, that's kind of interesting to hear that sometimes we have a masculine perspective, because I would hope so, since I try to be that, you know, in the way I do life. So Deb, I'm curious, because there's two things I want to tackle with you today, and we'll see how we get it. One with this segment during the free regular version, and then in the extended content later. But I'm interested because what I know about you from our conversations that we're having and as they're unfolding, you operate in the world of trying to work with couples that
yes.
also then dive into the sexual arena of talking
yes.
and making that an issue. You know, it's on the table to be discussed and dealt with straightforward, which is a fabulous thing. Any marriage therapist that does not do sex therapy, I'm always going, what do you talk about?
Why? Why?
Because those things. Yep.
Mm-hmm. If you work with couples, if you work with human beings, our sex and sexuality is just so important, and it's a part of who we are. And it's so taboo in our culture to talk about it. And so we're just left isolated and alone. And so when you start talking, it can be just so healing just to get those words out of your mouth.
Absolutely. And so, but you also work with a predominantly Christian population, where there's another layer that can add cloudy to it, because it's not something that the church typically will address. And so I'm curious, how do you tackle that, both on a therapeutic stance, if you will, but more on just kind of a situational environmental stance, if you will, of interjecting into that playing field? How do you blend that, your approach?
Yeah. That's a good question. And I think it varies a little bit, but the first, I just start off right away letting couples know that I am open and willing to talk about sexual issues if they want to. And so my credentials help,
right?
Because they know I've had some training and they know that I specialize in that area. But before I was fully credentialed, what I would often say is, I do talk about sex. I can talk about sex.
Right.
And I'll let you know, if it gets beyond my, education.
Yeah. Which is a valid thing for every therapist or credentialed person to do, that if we get out of our lane, it's on our shoulders to say, whoa, hold on. I don't need to be using you guys as guinea pigs while I learn. We need to get you to somebody that can truly help the situation. Right.
Right. And well, and with every sex therapist, we can't know everything and we can't specialize in every kind of issue. So we still have to stay in that same place.
But you've got, so one of the things I have found that helps when you're talking about let's attack the issue of sex and marriage is you can come at it from two different ways, right? One is I'm going to just be straightforward and upfront saying, hey, if you want to go there, I'll go there. But the other is to try to give a framework or some metaphors that overlap, right? That make, in some regard, Sexy Marriage Radio is that, that we're going to be straightforward, but we're also going to try to give you a framework you can use to talk about it, where it's one of the best compliments I've got in the history of Sexy Marriage Radio is from a listener that's also a psychologist and a clinician. Yeah. And he refers clients to the show because he says, yeah, it's a show about sex, but if you listen long enough, you're going to find out it's not a show about sex. It's a show about life and being better. And I was like, that is fantastic. So it is, it can be a language, but I'm curious, how do you use the different tools or resources or path inroads into talking about sex?
Well, I think one of the problems that couples have, especially couples that have grown up in environments where their family didn't talk about sex, their church didn't talk about sex, and if they did talk about it, it was really framed as, here's what you don't do.
Right.
Don't do all of these behaviors. Yep. And don't lust and don't, but not what do you do?
Exactly.
Like what is good and lovely and pure and sacred? And how do we have conversations with that? So trying to find everyday language that isn't necessarily about sex. So, okay. Esther Perel talks about sex as a place you go.
Yep.
And so like asking the questions, where do you guys go?
okay. That's good.
Another that I use a lot is talking about food because we all know about food.
Yep.
And, sometimes sex can be like chocolate cake. No, it can be really good and really wonderful. And sometimes sex can be like a McDonald's hamburger, and.
Okay. I'm good. I'm tracking with you. Let's keep going.
It might satisfy you, but it might also leave you wanting something more.
Okay. Because I also think you could keep going with that where it might make you feel like afterwards, that might not have been the best choice on the way I'm feeling about this after thinking back through it.
Right. And being able to say to people, I often tell couples, especially couples with younger kids and kids in general.
Right.
I'm a little beyond that. My kids are young adults and they're out of the house.
Congratulations to you.
it happened. And I miss them and it happened. Okay. Anyway. So when talking about food, often thinking about different kinds of ways that we enjoy food, and we can't always have the amazing Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
We can't always have the 5-course, meal at the restaurant.
Because we don't have the time or the prep space or whatever it might take to actually get to achieving that.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is important to take time to intentionally have that time together.
Okay.
To intentionally have the 5-course meal.
Right.
And maybe the flowers that you arrive beforehand and the dancing or the looking at the moonlight afterwards, that it's more than the meal.
Okay.
And it's the meal. But taking that time and intention and care, thinking about the conversation, planning ahead. That's like same with Thanksgiving dinner. Lots of planning, mm-hmm. right? Right. Your favorite, maybe Thanksgiving dinner kind of, some people might be thinking, oh dear, that brings up family. Take those people out of your head right now.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about like tradition
right.
and your favorite things. And just, every year, please make that
right.
yam. Like, okay.
The favorite thing that only Thanksgiving typically offers up. Because if you think right. about it, that's not one of the normal course of our weekly, monthly recipes and on the right. menu, but there is elements where special occasions bring out that, or because even so, right. even going so far as, that's when the china comes out, or that's when yes. that bowl comes out that's never around, or some of those things that add to the ambiance and the feel that make it even more special and elegant.
Yes. Yes. So when talking about that, we can extend that metaphor and say, well, okay, so if we're going to do Thanksgiving dinner, what is it that you like about Thanksgiving dinner?
Okay.
What is it that you like about, what is it that you wish the tradition would die? And please.
I don't ever want to see another thing of green bean casserole.
Please, no green bean casserole. I know you love it.
Right.
I know we've done that for years and I've never told you.
Yep.
I've never had the courage to tell you that, meh,
yep.
I either hate it or it's just like, eh,
yeah.
I don't have to have it.
Yeah.
But I think that, and I got this from Dr. Tina Shermer Sellers, mm-hmm. And I kind of took it off on my own. But she talks about having a menu of options.
Right.
And can you, as a couple, develop a menu of options? Because we can't always have, we don't have the time.
Right.
To have that banquet one, we don't want it, the ritual. We right. don't want that every single night. Thanksgiving dinner every single night. We hate turkey by like Sunday after right. get rid of the turkey.
Right.
right. We don't want the same thing. We're not in the same places. We don't have the same amount of time and energy and attention.
Okay, that's what's funny. Real quick, I want to interject this, Deb, because I just sit here and think of the difference of you got, and I'm gonna step out on the limb in the whole world of stereotypical yeah. with male female, but
yeah.
I want to at least throw it out there since I've got you on the show with me. You're sitting here making the comment of we hate turkey by Sunday because that's the if
yeah.
what I come across is variety is much more important for women than it is for men when you're talking
yeah.
about the sexual repertoire, right? Mm-hmm. Because that metaphor still works because if you're as the woman saying, by Sunday, I'm done with turkey, I'm sitting here thinking, I could eat turkey sandwiches most every week.
For right? 2 more weeks. Yeah,
yeah. I could keep going with turkey sandwiches because it gets the job done. You know, it's that mm-hmm. it satisfies what worked last time, so why not go back to the well? And that's just the nuances that I think are so powerful, and this kind of a framework matters to help couples recognize the differences between men and women.
Yeah. A lot of women, well, and you know, some of it is just our bodies. We're constantly changing. Yep. Our hormone levels are constantly changing. Our attention and where we have our minds and how many other people's needs we need to take care of might be part of that. There's just a lot. But for the most part, I think that sometimes men will put up with a McDonald's hamburger. And they'll be maybe not really satisfied like the same way they would be with a larger meal.
Right.
But they're like, we don't have a time for anything else, so that's good.
Yeah.
And some of my, or a good part of my female clients are like, if I have too many hamburgers, I just won't eat.
Yep.
That's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So I definitely, my clients definitely resonate with that.
Okay.
And feel the same way. And it is most often females that say, hey, what you did Monday is not what I want you to do on Tuesday.
Right.
So listen to me.
Right.
Now, they don't always have the voice to say that.
Correct. It's the message trying to be delivered, but it typically is layered and hidden in the reactions, emotions, everything else, right?
Well, and if they were taught that they don't really talk about it and they're not supposed to talk about it, how do you say, well, we did that Monday, so Tuesday, could we do something else?
Right.
It's just like they don't even have it. They just know they don't want Monday.
Right.
And so, like, no leftovers, please. Don't do the same exact thing.
Right.
Let's have something. Let's add some variety to it.
That's good. That's good.
That's what we help them do, right?
Yeah. No, and that's great because the whole goal to me, and it sounds like this is exactly what you're doing, is this is just about helping people grab a hold more of what's going on in their life to be more intentional towards what they're wanting, how to address what they don't, and how to even recognize it. And even if it's to the case of I can recognize what I don't want, but I don't know exactly what I want, but if I got a framework to at least clearly address that, I'm further down the road.
Yeah. So sometimes these everyday metaphors help to create a framework to help start to identify. And because we can talk about food.
Yep. That's not a shamed area typically.
It is. Well, and
okay, fair enough.
It can be.
Right.
People are, I mean, we have to have food multiple times a day. And so we have to have developed some kind of language.
Yep.
And many times food is the place where we gather and celebrate.
Right.
And other times it's just creating energy and allowing us to be able to put our attention in other places. And it's needed and necessary.
Yeah.
And I believe that about sex. And I believe that we have a need for sex and that it's good and lovely and pure in the right context. Mm-hmm. It can also in the wrong context, be really terrible. And so can food.
Yeah. Well said. So Deb, thanks for spending some time for this segment with me. I want the Sexy Marriage Radio Nation to be able to know, how can they find more of you if they are interested on anything that you offer, provide? So just where's your online home so that they can find you?
Well, one of the places is with the Northwest Institute on Intimacy, www.nwioi.com. Oh, that was hard.
Okay. You got it, though. Well done.
And I facilitate the retreats, the Passion for Life Intimacy retreats.
Okay.
And we have one coming up in November, and they are fabulous.
Sweet.
And that you have 3.5, that goes from Thursday to Sunday, and you have 3.5 days of talking about banquets.
Nice.
And talking about how do we talk about getting at what we want, and
right,
really what are the ingredients of intimacy. They can also find me at Samaritan Center of Puget Sound on their website. And I'm starting in an Instagram called Deb Thomas Counseling.
Okay.
I actually have someone trying to help me because I'm like, I want to get the word out, and
right,
I'm trying to learn how.
Right. I got you. Well, thank you so much for what you do, and then also just sharing the framework and the metaphor here. So thanks again.
Okay. Thank you. It's an honor and privilege.
So stealing some extra time with Deb Thomas, who's a marriage family therapist, for the extended content here today with Sexy Marriage Radio. Deb, I want to do... So when we got an audience that listens to the extended content, these are the couples or people that, man, they're good going a lot of different ways or deeper in general. This is the kind of time where we can geek out if I got a researcher on, or we can talk about behind the scene. You know, there's different things we can do that I think could be beneficial. And so,
yeah.
Since you are a fellow marriage and family therapist, also one that's not at all afraid to go into the sex therapy world, yeah, I would love to spend just a little bit of time just kind of talking shop almost. I think could be fun of just when you talk about sex therapy, what's it like if someone came to see you? I'll talk about what it's like with me. Because we're going to have different frameworks and probably even a little bit of different theories that we may follow. But
yeah,
all of it can be beneficial and productive. And so I would love just to, let's just go there if you're cool with that.
Yeah, yeah, that would be awesome. We do have different theories.
Okay, well, go with yours first, and let's do framework. let's kind of give everybody, here's the different lenses that we view things through. So you go.
So when clients come and talk to me, one of the first lenses that I look at is, and what I use for an assessment is, you're familiar with Dr. Gina Ogden's work,
yeah,
and her four-dimensional wheel.
Yep.
So really looking at, the clients as they're talking to me about what's going on, I have a framework of, I'm looking at what's going on in the body, what's going on in the mind, what's going on in the heart, and what's going on in the spirit.
Okay.
And I'm looking for the things that help their sexual life, that is a strength to them. And I'm looking for where are the problems and the dysfunction or the pain. And it's a theoretical lens that I actually share with them, but most of it's just for me.
Right.
And I'm looking for what is it that kills desire,
okay,
and arousal? And what is it that ignites it? What is it that kills intimacy? What is it that connects us and connects us deeply? And so oftentimes I'll share with the couple, look at these different areas, and I'll actually have it on a whiteboard, and I'll go, here's from a body perspective.
Right.
You guys are athletes. You have great body awareness. You know what's good and you know what's not good.
Right.
Or you get rest and you get sleep and you eat well. Or I'll say, you guys don't sleep.
Yeah, here's all the things that you're describing in this arena that they're killing you.
You, how, like, like, at least for one of you, sleep is going to be absolutely critical.
Right.
And so, like, new parents don't sleep.
Right.
And so fatigue really kills desire, especially for women. So that's like through the body lens.
Yeah.
And then I'll do the same, because sexual problems are often multidimensional.
Absolutely.
And multi-causal.
Yep.
And so sometimes our, you know, that whiteboard looks pretty messy. and I'll use that as a validating place to say, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what, it's messy.
Right.
And we can choose a couple of entry places.
Right.
And where do you guys think that, like, is the most important? Did I get it right? Is there anything missing?
Right.
And what's, like, super critical to you?
That's
and
great.
She might say, if I don't sleep, I'm never going to be able to connect with you again.
Right.
And he might say, oh, we don't need sleep, but what we need is time together.
Right.
And so we can even still say, take that mismatch and say, you guys are right.
Yep.
Right. She's right. And you're right. And how can we solve that?
Right.
And so try to get some wins, and then also paying attention to those other dimensions as well. And that it's not a linear process.
No system is.
So it looks messy.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, it does. It looks really messy. And there can be so much healing.
Yeah.
And so much hope. And I've seen so many people have so much healing and hope. And
that, I love the power of that process of making it visual, like the visual representation, because I love the whole concept of trying to create things through the lens of a story or way you can present a picture to people. And because I could almost see, if you had the whiteboard and you got all the four dimensions and here's the list and all that, and it starts to just become totally messy. After it's all filled out, being able to look at them, step back and go, well, no wonder you guys have trouble connecting. Look at this.
Yeah.
Of course it's going to be messy and a struggle and passing in the night, you know, and it just, because to me, it makes it to where the couple would go, okay, I see that, you know, and now it's like, at least I have a picture of where I am.
Yeah. And sometimes I even draw in different colors, right? And it's like, let's get some green on there to show strength.
Right.
Let's, like, what do you guys do really well? And how can we lean into that? What gets in the way of you guys doing that?
Yeah.
Because, and that's usually the story of where they say, if they have a story of, we used to be able to connect deeply.
Right.
And have really satisfying sexual time together. And it's gone. We lost it. And they each have theories about why.
Right.
And I just tell them they're right. And that both of their perspectives matter.
Yep.
And that we've got to unpack both of them. But looking at those strengths and the green, and then also saying, okay, research says, and I put that in red, this kills sexual desire and arousal and intimacy and connection. And so, like, it just does.
Right.
And you can fight it all you want.
Right.
And I hate that too.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to have to, like, always get 8 hours of sleep or, you know, whatever it is that's so important for our body, for our own bodies.
Yeah. If we're going to live optimally, there's effort and struggle and choices and things we have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then,
that's good. I like it. Cause I'm going to jump in just real quick because I just sit here and think, that's a great framework, but I come at it from the standpoint of, as they start telling me their story, I just have the complete lens of how do they keep getting in their own way and they're not even seeing it, right? Yeah. And I just come full guns at the at the very beginning, which is why you made a comment in the first section of the show of it's more of a masculine side. And it is.
Full guns.
Because it's a true, typically it's a, the hardest thing I've got to do when I have a couple sit down is to figure out who can I go after first? Cause I don't want to lose either one. Right. Cause you know, that ruins therapy and I don't want to take sides cause you can't do that, but you have to kind of be perceptive in some regards and follow hunches to see who can handle the first fire, if you will, right? Because if they handle it well, that changes the whole dynamic of the process to me. Because then the spouse goes, okay, this is how we're going to do it, right? And it's not at all uncommon that a lot of my clients that have seen other people before coming to me within 30 minutes to an hour, if we're doing a longer session of 2 hours or 3 hours, we'll go look at each other and go, this is a lot different than we've been through before, isn't it? I'm like, yes, it is. Cause I want to come at this completely different, you know, through the more of the crucible mindset with Schnarch and his training.
Yeah.
But it truly is the lens of how are you standing on your own 2 feet, handling yourself better, you know, kind of everything we talk about on the show that.
Yeah. So I have an attachment lens and emotion focus couples therapy.
Okay.
But often what we talk about and like when, you know, I get the other therapists who have a Schnarch model and we talk about the importance of differentiation and we talk about the importance of attachment and that they both show up.
Right.
And that when you kind of like, for me, I use the model that I'm most comfortable with because I think that if I did things your way, I wouldn't like myself.
Okay.
But I respect people who do that.
No, I got you.
It's just like, but I would feel like, no, that's just not me. And
so it's funny you say that, Deb, because if I was to kind of go more towards your camp, I would be like, nah, I'm not being genuine. I'm not being the way I view life.
Yeah.
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 I get
it. So I want to get at the underlying attachment meaning. What does it mean?
Right.
And I want to go after that. However, having said that, because it's sex therapy, I want to get to see if we can get them touching as quickly as possible.
Okay.
And so I will give them homework, which is might be faster than what they want.
Right.
One of my favorite homework assignments that I give them is a long hug.
Okay.
Twice a day for 14 days, like an antibiotic, whether they need it or not.
Got to go all the way through and complete it till it's gone, right?
Yeah. But then I also say, if there's one of you that says, nope, this would harm me. I'm not okay with this.
Right.
Like, stop that. It's just like, stop the antibiotic.
Right.
It's just the same.
If you're allergic to penicillin, then don't take penicillin.
That's right. And then that's really important information that comes back.
Absolutely.
So I do jump in and then I learn from people like you and I know that some people really need the approach of what you are doing is harming the relationship.
Right.
And you need to find a way to stop.
Right.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And how can you be okay and stop?
Okay.
Because maybe you're telling her that everything she's doing is wrong and da 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 da. And all you really want to do is fix it.
Yep.
And so let me tell you how you can fix it. You can learn to be her healer and you can learn how to stand still and maybe give her that hug. I'm just making this up, but
gotcha. I'm tracking with you.
So it's a little softer, I think.
I think you could maybe take the term little out as a qualification on that, on the softer side of it, because it is a softer one, and I get it, because there's a couple of pad things that I'm looking for through the lens of differentiation. That's the whole concept of, are you handling yourself in the way you're seeking togetherness and separateness? Are you handling yourself in the way you process thinking and feeling in your own life? Because it's, you can really boil it all down to, a thinker is most likely in a relationship with a feeler, and a person that wants separateness and values that as their identity is, and most likely in a relationship with a person that values togetherness and connection. And so it's a recipe for power, struggle, and conflict, and grief, and misery, depending on how you look at it, right? Because you're each, you know, the Texas term would be, when you get caught up in that too much, you become two ticks with no dog, right? That you're just, you're just trying to suck each other dry. And so it's trying to see it through the lens of, okay, if you don't reclaim some of your own selfhood, then you're really causing nothing to be attached to, or to draw towards, or to invite. And one of my favorite, because I come across a lot of nice guys from the Dr. Robert Glover camp, of guys that have become very covert, manipulative, really people you need to be leery of if you're going to be in a relationship with. They seem like they're probably really good companions and managers of a household. They absolutely would be. But to be in a intimate, deep relationship with, it's scary, because they're scared of themselves. You know, they're pleasers to an extreme.
Yeah.
And so when I start to get that dynamic, one of my favorite things, and this is how I know how therapy is really going to go, one of my favorite questions to ask, or points to make, is after they've unpacked it and I kind of get that sense, I'll look at the husband and say, so basically what you're saying, tell me if this is not soft enough. Okay. Right. So basically what you're saying is, somewhere along the road of this relationship, you gave her your penis and she has it. And every so often you ask for it back so that you can have a little fun. But other than that, she keeps it in her purse.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, that's not very soft.
And what's so funny is, because when that really strikes deep, both of them go, yeah, you're right.
Wow.
Right. And because she doesn't want it in her purse, it's, you know, if you think about it, it's like, I don't want to carry this thing around. I've been trying to avoid it in some regards for a long time. And and he's, you know, so it's just that, and that's a Schnarch phrase, is a lot of men needed to learn to screw their penis on tightly and securely live with it. Right.
Yeah.
Both sexually and otherwise. And we're in a society that, you know, that's kind of gone extreme on, oh, masculinity is to be feared. Nah, there's an element of it needs to be feared, but that also, masculinity creates some great things because it's in both humans, you know, both species, right? Of male and female within the species. So it's just seeing it as there. I love the framework that there's multiple ways to go at this that can help. And really, from what I'm hearing from you, it comes down to, I'm trying to constantly make sure I'm impacting my clients. And if it's not a good fit, I can adjust some, but if I can't adjust too much, then I find someone that will help them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, and I think that, you know, I think I tell every single client when they're sitting in my office, and the couples in particular,
right,
if one of you doesn't feel like this is going to be helpful, let's just find you someone else.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just stop this right now. If one of you feels like she doesn't get me, I don't trust her.
Yep.
This is going to be all about you and it's not going to be about me. It's just like, well, you're welcome to tell me, but after our first session, if you feel like that, let's find you someone else.
Right. 'Cause
this might just be an indicator that this is not a good fit. And I have lots of friends who use different styles and we will find you a different place.
Well, I think that's part of our job. If we're talking about the betterment of people in general, then it's recognizing I'm not going to click with everybody, but I can be a resource to help people find the people they click with. And that's that makes the public better.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So one of the things, I talk to a lot of people, and it might just because I am I'm in a church setting and I'm Christian based, and you know the location, but I just talk to a lot of people who have so much sexual shame.
Okay.
And so when you point out how they're doing something wrong, or that they need to do something different, they just like pull on the shame.
Yep.
And there is just like this wet wool coat that's drenched. And they're like, I am so bad.
Right.
And the guys are like, I'm this dangerous, evil man, and I'm harmful and monster. And the females are like, I'm a monster, but I'm a different kind of monster, and I'm mean and I'm horrible. And
right.
If we would just follow all the do's and do them right, if I could do and get it right,
right,
then everything would be better.
Right.
And so those are, and if they've had a lot of silence around talking about sex, and so I'm really sensitive to that.
Yeah.
And I know you are too. I've listened to your show enough to know that you are.
Yeah. Shame is one of those things that is so debilitating, because it's not a behavior thing. It's a belief, right? That it's a lens in how I'm viewing myself and my existence. And you talk about killing something before you even have a chance to get it started. If you don't challenge that paradigm and try to tweak it, then anything you do externally to try to adjust the system isn't going to stick.
Yeah. So introducing that what you're trying to do, like, makes total sense.
Yeah.
And it makes total sense, because you're just trying to, like, take that example you used about the guy. I would say something along the lines of you're just trying not to harm her. You're trying to pay and do everything so right.
Right.
And it's not working.
Right.
She can't see that. All she sees is the pressure or in that, like, the anxiety like the protection. She can't see that tender part of you that wants her close to you.
Right.
And she may just be able to see that all you want is maybe her body, you know, to satisfy yourself, or she wants and she wishes that she weren't in charge. She wishes that you could be in charge more.
Right.
She doesn't know how to let that go, because she's afraid you're going to blow it.
Right.
And he's afraid. And, like, so pulling out.
So now you got a commonality. You got a commonality between them of how, look, you guys are, because this is a great trick too, trick's the wrong word. Great framework to interject that, because most couples, I'm going to assume that when they come see you, they're in the similar state of, it's very conflictual. We don't see eye to eye. You know, it's a fight over this particular subject. Everything else could be pretty good, but man, we fight about this. And when you can point out, you know what? You guys actually are doing the same thing. You actually do see it the same. It's just from your own lens. Now all of a sudden you got a whole, okay. And you disarm it a little bit, because I think that interjects hope on, okay. I get that.
Yeah.
I can work with that. And then you got it. Now you just pivoted to a whole different path.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, cause we can see each other's behaviors on the outside, and then we make up our own meaning.
Right.
It's like, I see that you're doing this. And so that means, you know, oh, right. You don't love me anymore. You don't care about me. No. And, well, I see you doing this. Right. And that means that you don't care about me. And it's like, well, you both feel the same way.
Well, Deb, this is fun. I could talk shop for a long time.
Me too.
Because this
me
is good too. Stuff. Even with an attachment person. How'd you like that?
I know. You put up with me. I can't believe it.
Oh, yes. I'm so,
so good.
I'm so magnanimous and gracious. Yeah.
You like that soft side?
I'm just trying to get in touch with the soft side. That's what it is. Deb, thank you again. For the time, and more importantly, man, thank you for the work that you do and how you're in the trenches with couples, just trying to enhance life and all that it can be while we're here, and how we get in our own way, but how, man, there's things that we can do that do help make it even better. So thank you again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. And it's so fabulous to meet you, and keep putting out that podcast. I hope you keep going. It is wonderful.
Thank you. That is the plan. Thanks again. Well, Pam, I love how there's a lot of different ways to approach the subject of sex with couples.
Right.
And there's a lot of different things that can help. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think the goal is, how do you get in line with a resource that does help you? And so that's what we try to be with Sexy Marriage Radio, where we want to be a resource that's trusted and helpful. But I think we also, I'll speak for you, would be the ones, if it's not with us, we'll help you find people that will help.
Yeah, whether geographically or if it's personality-wise, a better fit for you.
Or even perspective.
Perspective. Let's get you hooked up with someone that can can help.
Because we want married life to be as vibrant as it can be for you. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for spending a little bit of time with us today, and for sure over the last 8 years.
Yeah, you guys are fabulous. Thank you so much, Nation.
Absolutely. So this has been Sexy Marriage Radio. If we left something undone, 214-702-9565 or feedback at sexymarriageradio.com. We'll see you next time.